Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharja Shrotarata Trishimat Abhaya Chananaravindam Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharja Shrotarata Trishimat Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Kuri Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Iskan Vivite Sangstapka Charja Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sikho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi, Gauru Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath, Shama Kunda Radha Kundgiri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Mayapur Navadit Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Maya Jamuna Maya Ki Jai, Shri Mani Tosi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Grantharaj Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Sitaram. Give this to the pujaris. It was in the garland. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumars. Text number 63. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krityodvagitaya pumbis. Krityodvagitaya pumbis. Trailokye tatra tatraha. Trailokye tatra tatraha. Pravishta karna randreshu. Pravishta karna randreshu. Strinam rama satamiva. Strinam rama satamiva. Krityodvagitaya pumbis. Trailokye tatra tatraha. Pravishta karna randreshu. Strinam ramah satam eva. Kityodvagitaya pumbis. Trailokye tatra tatraha. Pravishta karna randreshu. Strinam ramah satam hiva. Krityodvagitaya pumbis. Trailokye tatra tatraha. Pravishta karna randreshu. Srinang rama satam eva. Krityodvagitaya pumbis. Trailokye tatra tatraha Vrivista karna randreshu Srinang rama satamiva Krityur dvagitaya pumvis Tatra tatraha Prahishta karna randeshu Srinam rama satam hiva Bhumis Trailoke tatra tatraha Prahishta karna randeshu Srinam Rama Satamiva. Ladies. Kirtyodvagitaya pumbis. Trailoke tatra tatraha. Pravishta kana randeshu. Srinam Rama Satamiva. Kritva, by reputation. Urdvagitaya, by loud declaration. Pumbi, by the general public. Trailoke, all over the universe. Tatra, tatra, here and there. Ha, certainly. Pavishtaha, entering. Karnarandreshu, in the oral holes. Srinam, of the women. Ramaha, Lord Ramchandra. Satam, of the devotees. Eva, like. Translation. Throughout the whole universe, in the higher, lower, and middle planetary systems, Prithu Maharaj's reputation was loudly declared, and all ladies and saintly persons heard his glories, which were as sweet as the glories of Lord Ramchandra. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Trinam and Ramaha are significant. It is the practice among ladies to hear and enjoy the praises of certain heroes. From this verse, it appears that Prithu Maharaj's reputation was so great that ladies all over the universe would hear of it with great pleasure. At the same time, his glories were heard all over the universe by the devotees, and they were as pleasing as Lord Ramchandra's glories. Lord Ramchandra's kingdom is still existing, and recently there was a political party in India named the Ram Raja Party, which wanted to establish a kingdom resembling the kingdom of Ram. Unfortunately, modern politicians want the kingdom of Ram without Ram himself. Although they have banished the idea of God consciousness, they still expect to establish the kingdom of Ram. Such a proposal is rejected by devotees. Prithu Maharaj's reputation was heard by saintly persons because he exactly represented Lord Ramchandra, the ideal king. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Four Kumaras. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Madikam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vacharam Pankum Langayate Giri Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarana Paramananda Maravam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Tri Yordva Gitaya Pumbis Trilokye Tatra Tatraha Parishtaha Karne Randreshu Srinam Rama Satami Va. So, in this particular verse, we see that Prithu Maharaj is being, his glories are being compared to the glories of Lord Ramchandra. And that is because, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he properly or exactly represented Lord Ramchandra. Generally, people want things to be managed properly, and that's the duty of the government, is to manage things in the proper way. But here we see also the secret of being able to, any government, to manage things properly. And that is that they have to represent the supreme person, the supreme king, and that is the supreme lord. Unfortunately, people have gone astray from the idea of, or the importance of, God consciousness. But yet still, they want to have things that are properly managed. Previously, the system of government were kings, monarchies. this was true even in the time of the Middle Ages in Europe. There were kings. All the different European countries were ruled by different kings. This was the system, accepted by everyone. And it certainly is a better system than what we have today in democracy. But the fall down of the monarchs was the fact that they stopped properly representing the Supreme Lord. Why? What was the authority for the kings to rule? Where did they get their authority from? There was a concept in Europe called the divine rights. Doctrine of divine right, right? That the kings had an authority to rule that was given from God, right? Now, in the Vedic literatures, we also see a similar concept, but the problem came in when the kings thought that they were not answerable to the Supreme Lord any longer. This is the problem. In the Vedic system, when the kings were ruling, they always ruled with the advice of the Brahmins. There was a cooperative arrangement between kings and the Brahmins. When they wanted to get advice, where did they go? They went to the Brahmins to take advice. The Brahmins were very powerful. They had so much Brahmin tejas. Simply by their will, things would get done. Okay? Because they were fully surrendered to the Supreme. We see in the example of Prithu Maharaj, before him, King Vena. Right? So King Vena, he was stopping the sacrifices for Lord Vishnu. And this upset the Brahmins very much. So much so that they wished him dead, and he died on the spot. So the Brahmins had so much power. The Brahmins, due to their performing austerities, study of the Vedas, the worship of the Supreme Lord through the Vedic sacrifices, they had so much power. But they used that in the service of the Lord, and they used that to advise, that power to advise the king. So the king and the Brahmins, his advisors, they had this reciprocal relationship. And when that relationship broke down, when the Brahmins no longer had that brahminical excellence, that brahminical power, they couldn't advise the king properly. And the kings felt that they didn't need that advice, all due to the influence of Kali Yuga. We see that this relationship broke apart through the influence of Kali Yuga. But by far, it's a superior system, a monarchy. If the monarch, well, even in a material sense, it would probably be a better system than democracy. Just think about it. If you have a king and his family that are managing things, right? It's a smaller unit. If you have a democracy, it takes a very large amount or body. You know, you have the Senate, you have the House of Representatives in America. Here you have the Raj Sabha and the Lok Sabha, right? So in order for everybody to be represented in a democracy, it takes a heck of a lot of people, right? So the machinery of a democracy is much, much more expensive. Huh? Just in a very practical way, it's much, much more expensive than in a monarchy. See? Prabhupada makes that point, that so much more energy is used, taxes, revenue, to maintain a democracy than it is a monarchy. He wanted, Srila Prabhupada was going to suggest, in his meeting with Indira Gandhi, he had a meeting. It was scheduled. And he had some points that he wanted to make with her. But unfortunately, due to a threat on her life, that meeting was canceled. Yeah. But one of the things that Prabhupada wanted to suggest was that one of her sons should become the king of India. I think it was Sanjay Gandhi or something. Right? Make him the king. However, we do have a democracy. And that's the system that is prevalent in this age that we live in, Kali Yuga. So, how to purify that thing? How to purify a democracy? What are the leaders? The leaders are a reflection of the population in a democracy, Prabhupada says. So the population really can't complain in one sense because they elected the leaders. Right? If the leaders aren't proper, what have they got to complain? You elected them. So Prabhupada said that our effort, our mission should be to purify the consciousness of the general population. So the result of that will be that they'll elect purified leaders. Right? What we have now is the whole population is Sudra, are lower than Sudra. So what will they elect? The biggest glorified Sudra will become the leader. Right? Therefore, if we can somehow or another purify the population by giving them prasadam, by engaging them in kirtan, engaging them in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And when they become purified, then they will elect purified leaders. We see that Prabhupada mentions in the from the verse the word Srinam. And generally speaking, if you have any religious function, you'll see that it is largely attended by ladies. And wherever you go, whether it's the Catholic Church or whatever it is, if there's a function, the ladies will come. That's their nature. And they like to hear about the glories of a heroic person. And the Vedic literatures are filled with these descriptions of heroic kings like Prithu Maharaj, Maharaj Parikshit, Yudhisthira Maharaj. So these are the real heroes for hearing and chanting about. Because by chanting the glories of such saintly kings, a purification takes place. The modern day heroes of Bollywood are just make-believe heroes. They're not real heroes. They're heroes on the screen, right? On the silver screen, they call it. They're a hero. They're fighting and they're doing so many, you know, savings of the day, saving the day, right? But in actuality, in real time, or in their real life, we see that they are very confused individuals. They, in one sense, they don't know who they are, where they're going, right? They are intoxicated by this fame that they have received. In their private lives, they have so many bad habits. We see they go from one marriage to another, one marriage to another. Right? And that's the topic of their hearing and chanting is who she married to this week. Right? So this kind of hearing and chanting about the so-called Kali Yuga heroes is just Shrama Evahi Kevalam. It's simply a useless waste of time. The Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us information about the real heroes. The real heroes who, by hearing their glories, just as in this chapter, the glories of Maharaj Prithu are being described, everyone becomes pleased and purified. Shri Radha Rasvi Hari Gornitai Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman Kidar. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport recently there was a political party in India named the Ram Raja Party. Now, I don't know how recent that is because I don't really remember the Ram Raja Party. Do you remember the Ram Raja Party? So recent means, according to Prabhupada's time reference. Does anybody remember the Ram Raja Party? No? So it was before our time, but Prabhupada remembers it. And their platform was to manage things in such a way like Lord Ram's kingdom. Everything properly managed. In the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, the kingdom of Lord Ramchandra is described. And from the authoritative scriptures like Ramayana, Valmiki's Ramayana, we can understand about the kingdom of Lord Ramchandra. And there, one of the striking features is how the citizens of Ayodhya were so much attached to Lord Ramchandra. Why? Because Lord Ramchandra cared for each and every and all the citizens. Now, a king, his duty is to give shelter and to provide the citizens with protection. And that shelter is meant for all the term used in Sanskrit is the praja. Praja. Now, praja just doesn't mean the human beings. Praja means anyone who's taken birth in the kingdom. Anyone who's taken birth. So that means not only the human beings, but also everyone else who's ever taken birth, the animals also. Wrongly, today's governments feel that they're meant to protect the citizens, but that the animals can be slaughtered. And so we see, even in this country, India, there's government slaughterhouses, and so many thousands of animals every day are going to the slaughterhouse. Right? But previously, the kings, they realized that their duty to protect the human, not only human beings, but all living entities who came for their shelter. So in such a situation where the government do not realize their duty to protect all the citizens, what can we expect? Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in the United States, at that time the Vietnam War was going on, and many young people were being drafted. In those days they had a draft. And the draft was that when you were 18 years old, you had to sign up with the draft board. And after that, any time they could draft you into the military. And if you didn't go, then you had to go to jail. It was called the draft. So many young people were being drafted into the military and sent to Vietnam. And in Vietnam, there were many young people that were being killed. So Srila Prabhupada explained that if people do not respect all the living entities that live in a particular country, if you're going to send the poor animals out to the slaughterhouse, the reaction will be that your own sons and daughters will go to the war and be killed as a reaction. And that was happening in the United States. It's still happening in the United States. Now they're, instead of being killed in Vietnam, they're being killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, right? And Prabhupada equated that to this animal slaughter that's going on. So we can expect that very soon there'll be some catastrophe, some war that will attack India also, because India is sending so many animals to the slaughterhouse. This country is one of the largest exporters of leather in the whole world. So we're in a very dangerous situation. Due to the demoniac government's imitation of the world, global economic systems, and trying to get ahead in that particular area, so much suffering is caused to poor innocent animals, and we can't be exempted from that suffering. It will come. Srila Prabhupada said in 1974, on a morning walk in Sridhar Mayapur during the Mayapur festival, he said, very soon there'll be a war with India and Pakistan. And then the war, it'll start between India and Pakistan and it'll spread all over the world. Right? He said, And the devotees became very concerned. Then later on, Srila Prabhupada explained, but there doesn't have to be a war if we vigorously spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Right? So spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is such an important responsibility that we have as devotees. And that spreading of Krishna consciousness is not only beneficial for us, but it's absolutely necessary to save the world from the disaster, the disastrous situation that it's headed in, such as war, famine, catastrophes. More and more catastrophes are happening all over the world. And this is due to the effect, it's the reaction. The world, the personification of this world, Bhumi, is retaliating to the godless activities that are going on unchecked by the governments around the world. The demoniac mentality of sense gratification, which is increasing more and more. And the reaction to that will be, and is, we can see practically, so many. Recently there was an earthquake in Haiti? 250,000 people died. There was an earthquake in Chile. And it was such a tremendous catastrophe that the damage that was done in Chile will probably cost about $8 or $9 billion just to repair. And thousands of people died. So people do not understand why these things are happening, why these catastrophes are going on one after another. It's not just by chance. Not just by chance. So, if we want to have Ram Raja, we have to follow the instructions that are there in the Vedic literatures. We need to properly represent the Supreme Lord. And the best way to do that is to understand His instructions. And His instructions are most perfectly given by Him personally in the Vedic literatures, such as the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we're ready to follow these and understand these instructions, then we can have an ideal situation. Otherwise, it's not possible. There'll always be one catastrophe after another, and no amount of adjustments, material adjustments, can solve that. You may have the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the United Nations, so many different things you may have. But have they actually stopped wars? No. The wars are going on. The United Nations has been in existence for over 50 years. Right? But what is the result? Instead of the nations becoming united, we see newer and newer nations are popping up here and there. They're becoming more disunited. And even though there's a global monetary organization to make sure that there's proper economic development, we see that so many people around the world are starving. So you can say that globally, this global concept is a complete failure. It's a complete failure. It's based on greed. It's based on lust, sense gratification. And anything that's based on greed, lust, and sense gratification is destined and doomed to fail. And in order for the world to become successful, it has to be based on the instructions that are coming from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we have a very great responsibility as members of ISKCON to try to disseminate this knowledge, to try to convince people to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. If we can just get, Prabhupada said, 1% of the population of the world to chant Hare Krishna, everywhere will become Vaikuntha. Right? So how big is the population in Bombay? Huh? 1 crore. How many million is that? ¥12 million people? So what's 1% of 12 million? One percent of 1 million is how much? 100,000? So we got 10 times that much. We need 1 million people. Right? And then we can turn this place into Vaikuntha. So individually we can keep a goal to whoever you meet, wherever you go, ask them to please chant Hare Krishna. They are watching TV, and the TV is suggesting to them so many things every moment. People are sitting in front of the TV for hours, and they're watching all of these foolish TV commercials, and the TV commercials are saying, buy this, eat that, wear this, drive that. Is it not? And people are doing. Still, they're not becoming happy. So we can suggest to them, wherever we go, whoever we meet, please chant Hare Krishna. After all, you've tried so many things for happiness. Now we request you to try and chant Hare Krishna and see if it doesn't make you happy. You have nothing to lose. It doesn't cost you anything. Just you have to invest a little time, right? So wherever you go, keep some mantra cards. Whoever you meet, give them that mantra card. And please ask them to chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And their lives will become perfect. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Come later on in chronology as we understand it?
Well, Ram's chronology is very, very ancient. Even before Prithu Maharaj, if I'm, he's in the Satya Yuga. No? Which Yuga?
Dwapar.
Treta Yuga. But then you also have to understand that never was there a time when Lord Ramchandra pastimes weren't chanted. They're always chanted. Even in so many different millenniums, Lord Ramchandra also appeared. Krishna appears in every millennium. It's not like before Krishna appeared, they didn't know about Krishna. This information is there about Krishna. Right? Krishna appears in the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu in the day of Brahma. Right? But that is happening continuously. Brahma, in his single day, lives for 1,000 of those millenniums. So in Brahma's day, you know, Krishna appears. Brahma lives for 30 days a month, 12 months a year. He lives for 100 years. So how many times Krishna is appearing? And it's not like Krishna's not known about until he appears. You understand? But in any event, this Bhagavatam is being spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, the Maharaj preached it. And if, certainly at their time when they're hearing and chanting about this, Lord Ramchandra has already appeared. And if they're comparing Prithu Maharaj, who has already appeared, to be as sweet as Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, I mean, it doesn't really depend on chronological order for them to do that, does it? You understand what I'm saying? This is a conversation that's going on within a conversation within a conversation. Maharaj Parikshit is speaking to Sukadeva Goswami. That's one conversation. Within that conversation is another conversation. Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages at Namasaranya. That's another conversation. And during that conversation, about another conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. So I don't see a problem. Yes.
When this Bhagavatam came into writing,
Srila Vyasadeva, seeing that the Kali Yuga was approaching, he decided that it would be best if he wrote down this message of the Vedas, the Purans, etc., etc.
No, Vyasadeva wrote this, but after Vyasadeva there was Suta Goswami's conversation and all. So it is also coming. So when exactly it was written down?
Just after the disappearance of Krishna.
After Janmajaya's fire sacrifice and all.
Mm-hmm. And he enlisted the help of Ganapati to write everything. Ganesh. So therefore we can still take advantage of the Vedic literatures. Previously, persons would go to the guru and the guru would explain that, and because they were Shrutidhar, they'd be able to immediately remember whatever they heard. There was no need to write anything down. But Srila Vyasadeva, seeing the effects of Kali Yuga on people's ability to remember, to assimilate, to understand, he felt it important that everything be written down.
Why did Lord Ram left Sita ji in jungle?
Why did what?
Lord Ram left in Sita ji in jungle.
Why did Lord Ram Chandra
left Sita ji in jungle?
Leave her in the jungle.
Yes. He told to Lakshman, go and leave her.
Okay. I think the pastime you're referring to is when Lord Ramchandra heard some criticism to the effect that she had been with Ravan and now he had accepted her back. Right? Is that what you're referring to?
Because Sita Devi was a not ordinary woman. She was Devi and she was a wife of Lord Ram.
Yes, so. I agree. That's a fact. But I'm not exactly sure which pastime. The Ramayana is a very long pastime. I'm not sure which pastime you're referring to. Same one? Okay. Well, again, it goes back to being an ideal king. And the king has to be, represententing the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is perfect.
And the criterion for a king is to follow all the scriptures very perfectly. And for the and his main consideration is the benefit of the citizens. They should be benefited. So one reason why Lord, of course, you know, when the Lord does one thing, the Lord accomplishes, you know, 100 things at one time. And we see that so many times. So for me to explain to you why he had Sita banished to the forest, I'd have to be a self-realized soul to give you all the reasons why the Lord did that. I mean, there's, you know, probably 101 reasons or more why the Lord did that. But I can say something, you know, from my limited perception of our knowledge. And that is that, you know, when it goes in line with what the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purport is saying here, to set an ideal example. Lord Ramchandra did that. You know, that's one reason. So if the citizens started to criticize Lord Ramchandra, that wouldn't be good for them. He's the Supreme Lord. And also, he's the representative. A king is supposed to be the representative. So to set a proper example to the citizens, that's why kings do things. So that's one reason. But like I said, there may be a myriad of other reasons why the Lord does something and accomplishes all wonderful things by his activities. Any other questions? Ananta Prabhu, have you got a question? Huh? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, if one doesn't chant Hare Krishna at the time of leaving the body, Yamadutas will take him and give him punishment, correct?
Not necessarily. Huh? Not necessarily.
I'm not speaking of devotees.
Oh, then definitely. If he's not a devotee, no chance. Yeah. Yamadutas. Yamadutas property.
Yeah. So what I want to know is, you see, Yamadutas do not take the body. Body is left behind, isn't it?
Of course.
And they cannot punish the soul.
What would the Yamadutas do with the body?
Yeah.
They just take the soul.
But then they cannot punish soul also, because soul cannot become wet, it cannot be burnt, it cannot be destroyed and all that.
Exactly correct. So what do they do?
Yeah. So whom they are punishing?
So what do? They cover the soul with a subtle kind of body so that he can experience the sufferings that they're going to dish out to him. That's mentioned in Bhagavatam. When the Yamadutas take the soul out of the body, they cover it with a kind of subtle body. Yes, the soul, how can the soul suffer anything? Even this body is not us. But if somebody cuts you, sticks you with a knife, you think, oh, they stabbed me. But it's not you. Well, why? Why do you think you've been stabbed if it's not you? Because we identify it as us, even though it's not us. Right? So the Yamadutas make such a situation when the soul leaves the body that the soul identifies with the situation of being dragged over the hot sands for so many thousands of yojanas, and his heels, he can't stand, he can't sit. If he sits, his burning sands are there. If he stands up, he's so tired from being dragged by the Yamadutas, and his heels are being bitten by wild dogs. Various types of sufferings are there. But of course, the soul doesn't suffer at all. But he identifies with these sufferings due to his conditioned situation. So we're conditioned by this gross material body, and we're foolishly thinking we're something that we're not. Huh? And when the conditioned soul is dragged out of this gross material body, he's in a different situation that he identifies with, and he continues to suffer. And it's only when the conditioned soul awakens
to his real identity as eternal spirit soul, part and parcel and servant of Krishna, that he can actually become free from the suffering.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi Hari Hari.